We will be in chapter 8 this morning. We'll start with chapter 8. It's kind of a new a different approach that the Proverbs goes off on. Good morning. How you doing? This section particularly is divided up into about five sections of this chapter. First part is wisdom calls all to listen, and you'll get that at verses 1 through 5. Reason for trusting wisdom that we should keep in the back of our mind, and that's 6 through 11. It displays her excellence. What the benefits are from having wisdom, 12 through 21. And then there's a discord on regarding wisdom's eternity, on when we became aware of wisdom. And then the last part is she warns against disobeying the commandments that she lists out in chapter 8. We're down to from here to the end of Proverbs. There's going to be discourses by wisdom as she talks to us through God's Word here, so that we'll get God's mindset on how we approach life from day to day. Actually, how we approach life from moment to moment. When we wake up, we start making decisions. And from that to the time we fall asleep at night, we're still making decisions. So this is God's concept. If we want to live successfully, if we want to live according to His words and inherit eternal life, then we've got to approach all these decisions the way God would want us to have approached them. In the chapters, verses 1 through 5, do you remember in the last chapter we were talking about the harlots and the adulterers, and how the harlot would try to seduce her prey? And then we can find out in the first part of chapter 8 how wisdom wants to invite you in, how wisdom is approaching us and trying to get into God's mindset. Now we'll read verses 1 through 5. And we're going to find it from this point on through the end of Proverbs. There's going to be a lot of repetition in here, but they're here for a reason, because God knows that we're hard-headed people and we need things repeated to us for us to put them in our memory bank. Verses 1 through 5, it says, "Does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice on the top of high places? By the way, where she is past meat, she standeth beside the gates at the entrance of the city. At the coming in of the doors, she crieth aloud, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is unto sons of men. O ye simple ones, understand prudence, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart." God wants to emphasize so much and plead with us so much to gain the wisdom that He's begging us to take from Him. He says wisdom is not sneaky about it. She's not conniving about it. She's not plotting about it. She just comes right out and tells you, God wants you to have wisdom. Listen, read up, understand what He's trying to say here. Anywhere and everywhere we make a decision, God's got an answer for that. It's not like you and I have particular pathways or crossroads that we cross that has not been crossed before. So God is pleading us here in these first five verses here, that I want you to have it. I'm trying to get you to have it. When you get it, like in verse 4, he says, "And my voice is unto sons of men not only to you, but your sons and your sons and to generations. He wants you to have this wisdom. And when he refers to in verse 5, and I think we pointed out this before, when he says, "Oh, ye simple ones, understand prudence, and ye fools," he's not talking about the simple-minded medically, ability-wise. He's talking about, basically, this is Proverbs' way of handling sinners, basically sinners. You're a simple person if you sin. You're a fool, basically, that's the way he says it. And the word fool, by the way, is used in Proverbs 49 times. You'll find it in Ecclesiastes, you'll see it 18 times. And there's elsewhere the word fools is used. And it's not meant in a derogatory tone of lack of ability. It's a lack of common sense, basically, what he said. If you were to rephrase that first five verses, this is what I encourage you to do in Proverbs so that you get it in your mindset what God is talking about here and what he wants us to understand. How would you put into words the first five verses that's written here? Just summarize it. First five verses, yeah, Judy.
I would say that it's ignorance of God's virtues, ignorance of his will for us. The world is so focused on worldly wisdom, but yet they lack greatly in wisdom of God. And so I think it's ignorance of God's will for us.
Yeah, God wants you to understand, I'm calling for you. I mean, I want you to have it. Nowhere in Proverbs does it mention IQ. God's not telling you you have to be a genius or you have to be smart or you have to be educated. He just says, I'm telling you, just listen to me. Listen to what I have to say. Absorb in what I have to say. And then he'll go on and start explaining in the following verses. Let's take up verses 6 through 11. Somebody read verses 6. And these verses here, why we should heed these admonitions that were just given in the first five. Someone read verses 6 through 11 for me, if you would.
Here, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instructions instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her.
In the back of our mind, we should read. What are some good reasons why we should be listening to those, to God, especially when he was speaking to us in the first five verses? He says, "Here, for I will speak excellent things to you. And the opening of my lips shall be the right things for you. And from my mouth will come truth." You can believe everything you read here. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Well, we said that there are things that God hates. He lists those things as abominations to him. And, of course, lying, things that come out of our mouth and out of our heart, are abominations to God. He says in verse 9, and are all plain to him that understandeth. Remember what we said, understandeth is him that hath common sense. That's the proverbial way of paraphrasing understanding, common sense. Receive my instructions and not silver. He's comparing the two, the value of the two. We all want to, most all of us want to desire to get wealth or gold or riches or whatever it is. But he says, receive this like you would silver or gold. Or try to gain it like you would that. He says, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all things may be desired and not to be compared to her. There's nothing, nothing, nothing compared to God's wisdom. We know, because it's repeated many times in here, with God's wisdom can, in most cases does, come with wealth. Maybe not in bank accounts, but in wealth in other areas that we will certainly gain from it. It certainly will make you wiser in how you handle your personal funds, you know, how you handle your personal lives. It's wiser in that we've already covered and we'll be covering again. You don't sign notes for people. You don't shake hands on debts to other people. The world basically is divided into two classes, the wise and the fools, and depends upon our will, how much we want wisdom, as to how much of God's wisdom we'll gain. Does anybody have any way to summarize those six to 11 verses?
Jerry, if you just look at our country, when we were more of a godly country, how different we were. Are than we are today. It's based on that godly wisdom that the country was seeking for before. You look at us in the state that we're in now and the struggles that we have because we're getting further away from His wisdom. That's a perfect example.
Most countries, supposedly godly countries, are the most prosperous countries in the world. Most of them are. We've gone a long way from our early beginning, but God is still tolerating us or keeps blessing us and hoping that we all change. Verses 12 through 21 are more reasons for heeding the words of wisdom. More reasons. God keeps telling you. In essence, He's pleading with you, verse by verse, on how much He wants you to get it. Someone read verses 12 through 21, if you would.
I wisdom dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil, and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule, and nobles all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield of choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me.
Again, and I always remind you, if you still have your sheet to explain things, when he says, "Our wisdom has made prudence." Prudence is one of the facets of wisdom. What does prudence represent?
Foresight.
Future consequences. Things that we say today, you know, what effect does it have in the future? Things that we blurt out without pondering over them, you know, what can be the results of them, or the harm done by them, if they're not, if we don't consider the future consequences of them. And when he says, "I find out about knowledge," knowledge is any kind of information out there. Is knowledge. Anything new is knowledge. Discretion. What does he say? Remember, I'm still in verse 12. He says knowledge and discretion. What is discretion in proverbial terms? To the feelings or appropriateness of saying something at that time. You know, you might want to say something at that time, but it's not the proper time, it's not the proper place, it's not the proper circumstances. It still needs to be said. But you pick and choose. You know, the time that you should do that. And that comes with wisdom. It's one of those facets we said that's in wisdom right there. He says, I am understanding in verse 14. He says, I am common sense. That's the interpretation of understanding at that point. Horse sense, that's another word, phrase that we've used today. It's good old plain horse sense. That's common sense. He says, by having the prince's rule, God allows people to run these countries. Not many of them rule them by his standards, but he allows that sometimes to put us in our place, sometimes to make us realize, you know, that we've allowed our country or our city or our government to go in such a way that we never pay for it. It's against his. And always in your prayers, by the way, when you're praying, you pray for these rulers. I know we may not like them, but we still pray that God will bless them with wisdom, with good sense. I'm going to divert a little bit because it just came to me about, based upon the lesson we had last week, that we were talking about. Revelations about eternal wisdom's part in creation. This has become controversial, not to Christians or the Christianic world, but the Aryan Brotherhood, or whoever they are, has taken this to mean that, taking specific verses out of here, like verse 22 out of here, to say that God, that Jesus was not God's son, that he was wisdom. He was something that God made. There is a correlation, but the correlation is that Jesus has all the wisdom, like God has all the wisdom. But God didn't create, he did not create Jesus to be wisdom in a separate part. He created him as a son, and he has the wisdom. And I'm not going to get into that because it's, you can take in most any verse out of the Bible, and if you want to turn it and twist it, you can get something out of it. But there's no biblical foundation for the Aryan belief that Jesus, God created Jesus first as wisdom and then sent him down here to earth. But that comes from the Aryan nation. All right, revelations of eternal wisdom is part of the creation. Verses 22 to 31. Have somebody help me read that, if you would.
The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, for the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, when I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man.
Well, basically, these verses are telling you here that God had wisdom before anything. He had wisdom to create. And then, of course, he said, let his son come down here and be wisdom to his wisdom to us. And we found, had a verse in that in 1 Corinthians. But it's from the beginning, wisdom has been there. God's wisdom is something we'll never be able to fathom. You know, our mindset, our minds are pitiful compared to God's wisdom. Yeah.
Jerry, what this sounds like to me is the fact that it's letting us know that wisdom is a characteristic of God. Yep. And what he is doing is trying to share some of that characteristic with us, trying to get us to possess this characteristic of wisdom. And he's freely given it to us if we would only partake. And it's not just something like what he created. This was in God. This was with God. This is part of God. And this is a part of God that he's trying to give to us if we only just allow ourselves to take it.
God had the wisdom from the very beginning, and he is displayed in how he created everything. And this does not take the place of Jesus being the Son. The two are separate in that sense, but Jesus possesses all the wisdom that God had to. Okay, anybody got any thoughts or questions on that?
Well, I think that we all should seek towards God's wisdom. We're dealing here with something that is imperative that we need as Christians, to have a will like God. How else would we discern what is right or what is wrong in his eyes? How else would we discern how to treat other people, how to deal with everyday things in our life? If we don't have God's wisdom, then we go by the world, and it leads to destruction. Whereas God's will lead to life. And Christians need this more than anything. And how do we gain it? By staying in his word.
You know, it's good to point this out over and over again as we go through this book. When we are born into this world, our reactions to this world and to others in this world comes from the experiences we have.
Yeah.
From our parents, you know, from our friends, from places we go, things we see. And therefore, we have to make a decision that's based upon those principles. But God is saying, that's gotten you in a lot of trouble. And the world's principles are not the principles you should be making decisions on. So what he wants us to do is get his mindset so that when we are faced with decisions to make, which I said before, from the time we wake up in the morning to what we're going to eat, where we're going to go, what we're going to wear, what we're going to do today, all these decisions need to be based upon God's principle. Otherwise, if you keep doing the same thing you've been doing, you're going to get the same results you've been doing. So if you go start replacing these God's principles in your heart, then the decisions you make with your brothers and sisters every day will come from your heart. They won't come from the experiences that we have in dealing with one another, which, let's face it, they're not very good, you know, with this world. And we can save ourselves a lot of heartache by not opening our mouth too soon. There's an old saying, you know, God created us. He created us with two eyes and two ears and one mouth. You know? So we keep our mouth shut until we've filled it up, our hearts up with what we see and what we've heard, and know to be the truth, and ponder over it. It finishes up this chapter in verses 32 and 36. It's kind of the epilogue of what he's trying to say here in chapter 8, when he says, now therefore. Somebody read those verses 32 to 36.
Now therefore, listen to me, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life, and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sinneth against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death.
Love death. Conclusion is, if you obey, you know, you obey her wisdom, then you're going to end up pleasing God. We're going to end up with everlasting life. If not, then we die. You know, we're dead all over. But if we want to enjoy that lasting life that God has promised us, he says, accept these things I just went over to you in chapter 8 here. Says he in verse 35, so whosoever findeth me findeth life. You want life? You know, in the very first part of Proverbs, we found that wisdom will, God's wisdom will bring you extra life. He said, well, God doesn't lie. He's put it in their plan. If you think about it, how does wisdom gain you extra life? How can wisdom gain you extra life?
It's by knowing God, by being in a, not only in a relationship with God, but by living our life God in a godly way.
Backing out of confrontation with somebody can save, help you in your life. Not giving road rage, or giving into road rage can extend your life. Being healthy, as God wants you to be healthy in life, to eat can extend your life. So there's a practical sense to it, a common sense to it, is what it is. If you understand that God's ways of doing things, then you'll understand that these are truths, because God can't lie. When he promises these things, there's not a lie in here. No lies in here. What else we have on chapter 8?
Jerry, I think that wisdom extends our life here on earth, but it also leads to eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an ongoing process. Wisdom is not gained overnight. Wisdom is gained through continued study and getting into God's mindset, as you put it. And it never stops, not until we face to face with God. And so it's very important that we stay with God's wisdom and pray for it, that he will give it to us. I was just thinking, if the world could all have this mindset, how many problems could be avoided in this world? And it's sad that people just go with their ideas of what's right or wrong. That's what leads to folly, that what leads to destruction, is following out what we think is right.
Well, you know, one of the first things we picked up in the first chapters before we got to chapter 8 was that be slow to speak, listen, ponder over what's been said, think about it, look up what God has to say about it before something comes out of your mouth. And then one of the other key things we should have learned by now is to seek advice. If you've got a decision to make that you don't quite understand, seek godly advice. Find spiritual friends that you might know that have wisdom. And you can recognize wisdom. If you sit down and talk to someone enough, you'll know whether or not they have any wisdom, or they're just blowing smoke, so to say. I think the saying goes. Seek advice on it. And it can be a trivial thing, or it could be an important thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anything where it involves your financial well-being, you owe it to your family to seek advice, mm-hmm. to make good decisions. Yes, Judy.
Well, Jerry, God said, be still and know that I am God. What is he telling us with this? Get to know me. Get to know my values. Get to know what I stand for. Get to know my will for you. And that's exactly what he's telling us. Be still. Get to know me. Be in my word. You know, seek me.
Judith, because we had this not too long ago, if I said, Judy, I'd like for you to sit down and have a conversation, that conversation involves both you talking and me listening, or me talking and you listening. And too often our conversations with God are us talking to him and telling him what we want, what we need. We need help. We need to get out of here. Stop and listen to it. Mm-hmm. And he's not coming down with a booming voice and rock the building. Mm-hmm. He's going to talk to you, mm-hmm. through his Holy Spirit. And you've got to take the time to listen to what he has to say. God wants to talk to us as much as or more than we want to talk to him.
Yeah.
or too often we start off, God, I need this. Yeah, Chuck.
And far too often, if we're honest with ourselves, we are trying to tell God what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shame on us.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on us. I've heard it before, I'm sure you have too, that the distance between your brain and your mouth is faster than anything that exists. So we need speed bumps between the two. You know, kind of slow it down, mm-hmm. if you will. We need speed bumps. And God has provided those speed bumps. You know, we call it prudence,
mm-hmm.
wisdom, and discretion. So there's three of them. You know, slow down. Think before what you're going to say. And also, nothing needs to be said. If you have wisdom and then discretion, you pick the right words. And, you know, you've been in there where your lovely wife come and ask you, does this make me look fat? So, again, discretion would help you not blurt out. Not again, you can get speed bump. He said, well, yeah, of course it does. You know, but anyway. Because we also know in Proverbs, it states, in Proverbs 14, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, we got to talk about prudence, wisdom, and discretion. The story goes, I don't know how many of you have ever heard of the motorcycle event that happens in the Dakotas, Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. It's a big event for motorcyclists. Big event. Well, these animal rights individuals, of course, heard about this, and they're concerned about the animals, and so they decided, since all these people are meeting there in Sturgis, let's go there and confront them about killing the animals for their vests and things like that. The story goes, they happen to pick one of the camps, because there's many campsites. They pick this one particular camp, and they go into the camp, three of them, supposedly, and I tell them, what you guys have done to those animals is terrible, detestable. Little did they know, they walked into the Hell's Angels motorcycle camp. And again, the story goes, the bodies have not been found yet. So a matter of prudence, wisdom, and discretion. It's real. You need to have it.
What we fail to do in two other areas in our prayers to God, we fail to recognize that time to God is completely different than our timing. Our timing is something most of us, is we want right now. You know, right now. Whereas God's prudence, or God's ability to know what he wants to accomplish, may not be that time. And most time isn't that exact time as ours is. God wants us to thank him for what we begged him for and he's answered for. He wants thanks. He wants to know that you appreciate him. First of all, he wants to know that you recognize that he blessed you. And then he wants to know that you appreciate that. And too often, we always want, and never thank you, God. Thank you. The very fact that you got up this morning, the very fact that we're all here with good health, you know, we should always be thankful to God for the things he's done for us. And thankful for the things he's done, and thankful for the things he will do. So his timing, just because we don't understand his timing and his answers. Well, his answer might be no, too, by the way. And sometimes we don't understand that. Well, he didn't answer my prayers. I prayed hard and heavy that he would do this. He didn't do it. It wasn't that he didn't answer your prayers. It's that he didn't think your prayers should be answered at that time. That's about all we got in this time for this class here this morning. But we'll pick up on chapter 9 next Sunday morning. And thank you guys for being here in attendance this morning.